Our friend Craig Shoemaker pops by for this episode of The Oddcast.
Why we always have an odd one in the crowd.
So it's kind of odd.
Decidedly odd.
Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, it doesn't strike me as a little bit odd.
It's the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, with stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show. Now, here's The Oddcast.
So we are delighted to be chatting again with our old friend, the comedian Greg Shoemaker, who, I guess, are you back out on the road in a big way, or is this kind of like a mini tour?
It's a very mini tour. I'm actually doing a lot of coaching. I have a program called Winning with Laughter. After the pandemic, I think that we need a few laughs. So I'm teaching people how to use the alchemy of laughter to improve your life. And I take people through guided laughter and a whole program to deprogram the negativity that's out there. So I'm doing that on Zoom and live, but I'm trying not to perform as much on the road. You know, one time I was on the road. I was in Atlanta. My wife calls me from LA. She goes, honey, I think there's an intruder outside. I'm 2,500 miles away. I'm like, put him on. Let me talk to that. Listen, pal, don't get me in my refrigerator. But yeah, it's just, my life just has a different meaning now. And I certainly love making people laugh. That's always going to be the case. And a lot of people don't realize that comedians live a very long life if they don't get into drugs and alcohol because of being surrounded by laughter. So we should all do that. I mean, it's life affirming. And you know, if you notice, Bob Newhart is still alive and Mel Brooks and Dick Dyke. And obviously George Burns lived to 100 and Jack Benny and Phyllis Diller. And it's really, really so life affirming. I just can't believe more people don't do it.
Not everybody is born a natural entertainer or with a great sense of humor. How are you teaching people to embrace that in their lives?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is the thought that everyone has, that they think I'm going to teach them how to be a comedian. I have taught people. My number one client I've had for three years now, he's in the mortgage business, and my friend from Philadelphia, he says, Matt Weaver ain't no fun, nothing funny about him. Good luck to you. So, but he's been working with me and he does presentations. He's now the number one mortgage guy in Florida. And because he's brought a sense of humor to all his presentations and to his life, anyone can have a sense of humor. I have all these little tricks. I'll give you a couple. Is what if you just exchanged your favorite sitcoms or films with one another? What if you just said your favorite line from a movie? It's guaranteed to bring a smile to someone's face. If I say, those aren't pillows. I don't have to be a comedian to say that's Planes, Trains, Automobiles. And you all think about that movie or whatever your favorite lines are. So I have all these tips to recondition ourselves and deprogram the way we've been programmed. We're born love, light, and levity. That's how you're born. And right away, they start conditioning us to say, get in our line. Here's what you're get an A on the test if you memorize Nina Pinta, Santa Maria, Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. It means nothing in life, but that got you an A. But what would be beautiful is if we really got to know ourselves, our authentic selves, and revealed that to the world. And our authentic self wants to laugh, wants to be happy.
It's true.
Do you encounter people, Craig, in doing this that you go, wow, this person really was born without any kind of a funny bone? Like, this is a person who sees the world in such a deadly serious way.
Yeah.
Or do you think that everyone has it somewhere inside them?
100%. They definitely all have it within them. And that's kind of one of my skills, is to unpack that, unpeel that, because it really is a deep programming. So it's like therapy. I take people through an entire program. Like, for instance, the first chapter is love. If you list what you love and get into detail, already you're in a better energetic space. You're more in a better vibration. And that's what you bring to the world. And therefore, you can release this potency that's within you that does want to laugh, that is filled with laughter and joy and really wants that. But we have been so pounded down with the messaging, it can't work. And obviously, politically, we're so divided. No one's listening to one another. It's ridiculous what's going on. I mean, so laughter is the great unifier. And that's what I say. It's inside. It's innate. It's inside of all of us. But what I like to say is, repetition causes intuition. Your intuition right now for many people is not to laugh, is not to go to humor. But if you repeat some of these exercises I take people through, like a guided laffitation, then suddenly it becomes intuitive and it becomes your true sense of self and sense of humor.
We are so excited about Bob and Sherry Premium. Well-marbled, juicy, and always fresh with loads of behind-the-scenes photos and videos, exclusive content, including our classic chat room calls and our best-of CDs. And best of all, it's just $4.99 a month. BobandSherry.com/premium.
Okay, I have two things I want to jump in with this conversation. The first one is to completely reaffirm what you're saying. I have a little granddaughter, and I keep a video of her on my phone. And the video is she just woke up, and she's got this fuzzy onesie on, and she doesn't know that my wife and I are visiting. And she comes out of her bedroom in that Frankenstein walking way, and all of a sudden she sees us. Her face lights up. She sees a dog, because we have our dog, doesn't really know what to make out of a dog, but starts laughing. She's laughing, and nobody's trying to feed her laughter. It is coming to this 1.5-year-old naturally. So what you're saying
is absolutely true. You are preaching to the choir, my friend. And that is exactly what I'm saying. Is kids laugh about 300 times a day. Adults laugh 20. And my goal is, hey, let's overtake the kids here. Let's go for 400 or 500 laughs a day. Instead of a Fitbit, have a laugh bit. Count your laughs and then watch how your life grows and transforms into a positive sense of energy. You know, energy follows thought. And if you start thinking along these lines, the energy that will happen, and by the way, it helps in sales, it helps with relationships. Hey, let's face it, relationships aren't going to sustain based on our looks. We're not all going to be, you know, Brad Pitt for the rest of our life, or Ryan Gosling. But what is sustainable and even scalable is a sense of humor. You know, I mean, as soon as that's gone, like my now ex-wife, I'm divorced, by the way, and my lawyer is horrible. She got half my jokes in the divorce. So he negotiated. All I get is the setups. So a priest and a rabbi walk into a bar. Rest, just get, call my ex-wife. Yeah.
Well, let me jump in with my second point here. I believe everything that you're saying, that you can pull out of almost anybody a sense of humor and appreciation for humor. But I don't know that the average guy can be taught to be a Craig Shoemaker. I think there's a big difference between, you know what I mean? I mean, Steve Allen, of course.
But that's the results of a lot of work on myself is, you know, I'm able to perform at a top level to this day. I've been doing it since I'm 17 years old. As a matter of fact, I saw Dave Chappelle at his house a few weeks ago, and we were talking about it. His first job he ever had, paid job, was opening for me. He was 15 and I was 22. And I was headlining.
Is that right?
Yeah, I started headlining at a very early age, doing impressions. And impressions were always my thing. And so I was able to rise earlier. But I still didn't even have a good sense of self and a sense of humor. It was developed and developed and developed. But that's because I had a career and mouths to feed. I got 4 kids, so yeah, I had to keep doing the stand-up. But I now have an understanding that coaching people into becoming their best self, that is truly rewarding, even maybe more so than all the standing ovations. You've all seen me, you know, it goes really well on stage. But this is something significant where people can actually utilize these tools, and anyone can be funny. It doesn't have to manifest itself into a comedy career. Anyone can be funny at any time.
Let's go back to just a minute. I understand what you're saying, but let's talk about comedians for just a second. Steve Allen said, if you're not funny by the age of 12, you're never going to be funny.
Oh, that's somebody making a proclamation that doesn't really have science. I'm not going to trust science on that one.
Yeah,
I'm not really sure about that. I do know that I was funny. As a matter of fact, I just thought of this story recently about when I really entered comedy was my dad left when I was born, you know, something I said, wah. And so I really lived a difficult life. I was kidnapped and by a serial pedophile. We moved a lot. I was beaten. I was really small and I was beaten and put in lockers. And I remember one time being shamed. I was, I only had one pair of pants and some rich kid saw me sewing them in the bathroom of our school. So I was having a really rough time, especially in fourth grade when we had just moved. And this goes to show you what laughter does and truth telling. That's basically a lot of it has to do with just telling the truth. Hey, by the way, in a complimentary way, you two are still together because you bring the truth. That's what people are into. They're organically drawn to you because every day that's what you do. That's the formula. I don't want to give away your secrets, but that's the secret to your success is you're just telling the truth. And it ends up being funny because the truth is funny. So I was in fourth grade and beaten up and all these bullies. And one day I told a story. I couldn't believe the reaction. These people that hated me. I was telling a story about my mom. I broke a vase at home, a glass vase, and she beat me up. And I told the story. And every time I would just express myself more, all these people are suddenly paying attention to me and listening. This is in my fourth grade class with Mrs. Stout. And I started exaggerating. I learned how to embellish. I go, oh, she beat me so bad. I was a pinata. I had candy coming out of my mouth. Ah. And I couldn't believe the reaction. It was truly magical. And the next day, Mrs. Stout, she said, this goes to show you our society, how we don't encourage comedy or laughter. She says, he'll never do this again in my class. And she took me and she locked me in a closet, supply closet, with my hands bound behind my back with blue yarn. I'll never forget it. Like I was hogtied. And in this, and I had to sit in the closet.
I'll never forget it.
I swear to you. So she says, sit on this box, don't get up. And of course, I was defiant. I would look through the vent at her thighs coming my way in her plaid skirt, and I would jump back on there. She goes, you stay here. And I stayed there the entire day. And she says, you think about it. Now, I will tell you this. It was the most divine moment of my life. A voice inside of me said, no, opposite. You're going to continue to do this. You're going to express yourself and you're going to make people laugh because it makes others feel good and it makes you feel good. And I haven't stopped since.
Wow. So that's where was that Joseph Mengele Elementary School? My God.
Craig, if one of my kids came home and said, I spent the entire day hogtied with blue yarn in a closet, I would be making a phone call or two. Like, what did you tell your parents about this? That sounds insane to you, right? Funny as
well,
it is.
Of course it's insane. And people always say that could never happen today, but it happened then. And, you know, my mom was, you know, alone and, you know, kind of defenseless. And she would come into school sometimes and, well, often actually, because I was the troublemaker. And that was my way of, that's your only stand up. There's no stage. I'm not charging a two milk minimum. That's what I had, but I'm telling you the most ethereal feeling happens when there's this energetic exchange of laughter with anyone in your life. Think about it. I mean, think about the people you like to be around. It's usually people that you have fun with. You're smiling, you're releasing healing enzymes in your body. Every time you smile, you're oxygenating your body when you laugh and healing endorphins are released, all these things. You know, I have this Laughter Heals Foundation because my best friend got brain cancer and I formed that. And by the way, they gave him 3 months to live and he showed up for all these guided lapitation, all this stuff that I developed, you know, where you don't need jokes. He showed up for all of it, all the prescriptions, and he lived 15 years past that prognosis.
Wow.
3 months he was supposed to live and he had brain cancer. Yeah. But it goes to show you that you can, with a mind reset, it's the energy follows thought. You start thinking these thoughts of, I'm going to input lots of laughter and lots of joy into my life. And that's all that can manifest. Of course, you have the other programming to be out there. One of the things I also say is turn off the news because it's always going to be bad news and it get you upset. And then the drug company sponsors the news that handles the anxiety that they just gave you. That's the whole circle.
That is so true. That is so true.
Yeah, here,
those,
let me get
those
your
are
fears.
The main, yeah, here's what, those are the main clients. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here's your, and then they'll give you some drugs that you never heard of, and that leads to more side effects, and you have more drugs that you never, I mean, and the names of these things. How about a drug called Jokerex? I mean, you take Jokerex twice a day and see what happens. I mean, the side effects, you know, how many, when you were growing up, do you remember ever sitting with your parents And all of a sudden, what comes on the TV is a commercial for erectile dysfunction. And you have to explain this to a child. I mean, I cannot imagine my mom sitting with my mom, you know, during Mary Tyler Moore and going, what does that mean? Erectile dysfunction. Have her explain it to me. They have all these different Cialis, Viagra. By the way, I went to the pharmacist to investigate Viagra. I said, can I get it over the counter? He goes, yeah, I guess if you take two or three, sure.
Craig, for me, the worst of it is the bent carrot Peyronie's disease commercials. Because a child, as far as a kid knows, like, why are they mad that that carrot is shaped like that? It's such a literal commercial. That's excruciating to try to
explain. Oh, yeah. Then there's the other one where Frank Thomas is in it. But what's that one for? Nugenics. And then so it's got like all these guys in a neighborhood with like tangled limp hoses that they're trying to put together to water their backyard. They can't water the kinked hose.
And then at the end of the spot, they look at the camera with a smile and say, she'll like it too.
That's so unbelievable. Yeah. And it's, by the way, his nickname is literally the Big Hurt. The Big Hurt. and here's these frail guys that apparently can't get their hose together. And he goes, and she'll like it too. Oh my God.
I know.
This is the world we live in. And it's all acceptable. Because of money has made it acceptable. We're mindless to it. But how many times do you see funny on television? The news has 2 seconds of funny and then back to the disasters. And that's the way we're living. So I'm trying to bring people to a whole new news. We're going to inform ourselves of what our news is on a personal level. We don't need to know what's going on, what they choose for you to know about. They choose. There's always bad things happen, always, 24/7, everywhere in the world. But they choose what they know is going to ignite your fears, and then you're going to go take care of that because the commercials are all, you know, some pharmaceutical or some insurance. That's most of the commercials. That's what they are. I miss the days of I can't believe he ate the whole thing, and you know, all. You know, a little bit of Alka-Seltzer. That was as bad as it got. Like, you had the bubbles or whatever it was. But, I just let go of my ego. I mean, those were like that. Those are the days. And now it's switched into this very negative world. And I'm here. I got this Winning with Laughter program. This is why I'm really tamping down the stand-up. Now, I'm going to be doing stand-up a little bit more this year. One show in Charlotte and a matinee. And that's going to be it for a while. I mean, maybe forever, because I'm really enjoying this other direct connection with people and these Zooms. I have Zooms where people all over the world participate in these things, and we're in this together.
Are the folks who join you on your Zoom calls, are they a little intimidated that they're with Craig Shoemaker? They've seen you on TV. They've seen you as a guest on a late night show, and maybe they've seen you in person. Are they a little intimidated at first?
You know, sometimes if they think this is about comedy, they might be like, I don't want to be a comedian. But right away, when I start with this, I have an 8-step program and then a 5-step bonus if they do it. And right away, they see that I'm one with them. And that's my whole goal. I think we all need to be one on this planet. You know, we all share the same feelings and thoughts and fears and doubts and worries. And we all share this. We're all one, and we all want to be better. So that's what this is about. It's about getting better. And they get it right away. And I've actually, they benefit from it because I bring in celebrities to talk to them. And it's really fun. I mean, imagine, I have a whole montage of my celebrity friends, you know, Samuel L. Jackson and Whoopi Goldberg and Christian Slater and Mary Lou Henner. I mean, they're all, you know, old friends. And the people I'm friends with, the celebrities, I'm not intimidated by them. Nobody's intimidated by me, but it goes to, they bring, you know, this whole essence of who they are. I'm not friends with people just because they're a celebrity. I'm friends with them because they are good people. And that's who I want to connect with, is good people. And that's what we're about. And everybody is good people. Everybody's born that way. It's just the conditioning that we choose, or they choose for us at first, our parents, our teachers, our peers, the news, everything. They tell you what you're going to think. They tell you what you get rewarded for your compliance. That's what they say. Here you get an A. Here you get a pat on the back. Way to go. And that's not what we're about. We're all equal, and we're all here for the same reason. We just got to live this light and let this light shine. We're all potent. Everybody's got the potency. It's about it gets tamped down by society. So I'm here. I just want to bring it out in everybody. And it's very easy if people just show up.
You know, it was very interesting that you said and made note that Sherry and I have been together, especially with Max and now with Lamar, for so many years. And part of it is we're very lucky to have a good time, and there is laughter. But of course, the only laughter we hear doing radio is if we're cracking up either a guest or one of us. It is different if you're in front of a live audience, which we are not very often. But I was the MC of this big event for a radio station that turned 100 years old about a year or two ago. And I wrote some jokes, and I was a little bit nervous about it because I'm not used to that sort of a platform. And I got up, and I threw one of them out, and it got a laugh. And the second one did, and the third one did. And something overcame me at that moment. I couldn't miss being funny for that 5 or 10 minutes because it was like my body was taken over. I had not really experienced that very much, if at all, in my life. And I thought, is this what a comic, is this what a comedian feels all the time? That amazing situation where you're looking at faces and you're hearing what you're saying being greeted with laughter. You're connecting that way. Is that addictive?
Yes, it is. You use the right word. When I first got a laugh on a stage, an official stage, I might as well hit a crack pipe. I get crack now. I understand the whole thing, the epidemic. I mean, it's just glorious. It's a divine connection like no other. I always say that laughter is like a bullet train to your true spirit, your true soul, your true self. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's ethereal, it's divine, and people don't say that it is, but the Bible talks about it all the time. So if you're a religious person, spiritual person, just understand. My whole goal, one of my big goals is a lot of people that are very serious with their religion or spiritual practice. You know, I live in LA. They think you need to sit on a rock in Sedona for enlightenment. But I'm also from Philadelphia. So I'm like stuck between namaste and kiss my ass. That's where I live.
So true.
I can go either way in a nanosecond. Yeah.
Right.
So... By the way, anybody that's listening, the Philadelphian, like Sherry, by the way, if we say, yeah, I'll get right to it, that doesn't mean we're getting to anything, okay? So
we just say that to make you stop talking.
Exactly. Sherry gets it. That's exactly right.
Yeah, the Philly thing is so real, Craig, because your heart wants to say, oh, my goodness, that's tough for you. But your Philly wants to go, you stupid. Jabroni. Exactly. You did this to yourself.
Yeah, what is it? Come on. Get yourself together. I want to stop global whining. Enough already. Everybody's whining about everything, blaming and finger pointing. Just shut up. But the other side is like, okay, I'll pray for you. But
I have a question for you about your kids. Which of your kids got your comedic talent?
That is the easiest
the most.
One to answer.
Yeah,
easy one to answer. I have three sons and then I have a little daughter. Unbelievable. And it was out of the gate. She is, I mean, the things that come out of her. I remember when she was really little, there's a cat down the street. She goes, Mommy, I want a cat. And my wife goes, your dad's allergic. She goes, let's get another dad.
That's a legitimate joke. You're right.
Oh, this is like right away, you know, and yeah. She, like my wife, now ex-wife, was driving and And all of a sudden, a ball is launched from the back seat. She goes, she says, Chloe, no playing ball. She was, I was throwing to my imaginary friend. So, I mean, it's just, I've never seen anything like it, actually. It's almost reincarnation from, you know, from some Toady Fields or some kind of Fanny Bryce, somebody from the past, comedian from the past. She's that naturally funny. But that's the not timing. The case with most people.
Right. It's the timing that sets it apart. Yeah. The kid that can land the punchline with the perfect timing, that is a gift you are born with, I think.
Oh, it's innate. It's innate in her. I took her to a big function the other day. I was honored at this big function. And she was my date. And they had an auction. And it was a Taylor Swift guitar. And it said the value was $950. I said, I'll buy this thing for $950, signed guitar. So you put the paddles up. They have one of these auctioneers. By the way, there's all these huge celebrities there. She wanted to meet the auctioneer. She was very impressed with. I want to meet him. I said, what are you talking about? Look at all these. These are Oscar winners. No, I want to meet the auctioneer. Anyway, that's naturally who she is. And so I started bidding, and it starts at like $800. I put my paddle up, $900, put my paddle up. It goes to $1,000, put my paddle up. I go, $1,100. Now put the paddle down. And she starts looking at me, go, put the paddle up, Dad. Come on, get me that guitar. I want that guitar. Then it goes up to like 10,000, 11,000. I go, are you kidding me? And she's getting frantic. Put that paddle back up. Come on, Dad. And I said, this is your college fund. And she goes, I'll get a scholarship. Put that paddle up. He's 10 years old.
You know, Sherry has, I don't think you know this story. She has a very heartwarming story about her dad and a kitty cat. Don't you, Sherry?
Well, I mean, which one? That's what it comes down to.
You had a little house. You wanted to have a special house.
Oh, no. When I was a little girl, Craig, my parents, before they were married 17 years before my dad decided to pursue the lucrative and exciting, fast-paced world of being a meth cook. So I was little. We were living out in Wyoming and we're sitting at the dinner table and talking about what we want to be when we grow up. And I told my parents that when I grew up, I wanted to have a home for unwanted cats and I was going to call it Pussy Haven. And my father, who's a Philadelphia street kid, was unable to take that in without like completely disintegrating. I heard about that for the rest of my life. But this is the same guy. The first time the Mormon missionaries came for a home visit when we moved out west, Brother Bryce Erickson was sent to the house to talk to us. And so my parents invite him in, and Brother Erickson is talking to us about Joseph Smith and the Golden Tablets and the Pioneers and Brigham Young. And my father, now my father is smoking during this, which of course is against the Book of Wisdom, right? So, and Bryce Erickson, Brother Bryce, is being so patient and polite about the Pall Mall smoke being blown in his face. So my father pauses and he says, Bryce, let me ask you a question. So this Joe Smith guy, he finds the Golden Tablets that were hidden there, and he has a conversation with the angel Moroni. Do I have that right? Father takes a drag on a cigarette, and Brother Bryce is delighted because the message is landing. And he's like, well, George, you have that absolutely right. Father goes, well, did you ever notice that Moroni is one vowel away from moron? My mother looked like she wanted to be taken by the Lord right there. And even at like 7 years old, I knew what that was. That was the kind of humor, that kind of cutting, Philly, aggressive humor that my dad had. But you know what? We all inherited it in one form or another. I do think some of that is genetic.
If you boil that down, I'll give you the secret to comedy, truth. That's one of the steps I go through.
It's just
you tell the truth unfiltered, as that's when it's really good. When I told the truth to those kids in fourth grade, there was a bonding that took place because now you're authentic. That's what people want. And the phonies, who wants any part of these phonies? And that's the problem, is we buy into phonies all the time. That's what a lot of Hollywood celebrities are. They're phonies. And that's what we in this country, we need now more than ever. We need authenticity. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, that humor will bring that out. And the truth will bring out the humor. That's the formula. You know what people are noticing now? These commercials of inclusion. I get we need to do inclusion, but we're sitting out there going, this is not authentic. It's like my kids laugh at me. I'm all grumpy. I go, okay, here we go. Look at this commercial. These are people who would never be in the same room. You know, okay, bring in the Asian trans. It's like
right.
It's these people would never be in the same room. It's a casting call. So it's completely right. fake. And that's what's going on in our world right now with the whole identity. You know. By the way, I forgot to mention, you guys. I identify as 32 now. And if you don't,
well, good for you. Good
you
for
don't
you.
Tell me that I'm 32. You're an ageist. Okay. But when we were growing up, the worst identity we had was I'm a little teapot. But I didn't actually think I was a teapot.
You nailed it, though, with the whole celebrity thing. I mean, I think part of the reason that celebrities get toppled and canceled is because the whole thing was never authentic, real, or true to begin with. And yet we buy it, we celebrate it, we write it in stone, and then when we find out this person is just a deeply flawed human like the rest of us, then we come racing with the pitchforks and the torches. Because you're right, our whole culture is kind of based on bullshit at this point. And, you know, appearances and images and just these really quick, short, snappy sound bites and superficialities. And the problem with that is, thanks, I think, in large part to social media, our brains are wiring for that now. So we are becoming what we consume, and not for the better.
Exactly. And what we consume, we're making a choice to consume something that's false, theoretical. Like my wife, you know how much I love my wife. Well, she joined a cult. And the cult is all theoretical. It's this nothing that's been proven to be true. You know, just come on, mamas, get out of your golden cage and get your sovereign freedom, as if the freedom didn't exist already. As if some of these rights for people don't already exist. But we get into these causes, but we're told, and you get shamed if you don't go along with the cause. So my new saying is I'm unwoke AF. I have t-shirts now, unwoke AF. And I tell people, oh, it's Air Force. Come join the unwoke Air Force. Because woke, what you're saying is I'm more woke than you are. You're not awake. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to decide what your causes are. And mm-hmm. if you don't agree with these causes and tell you who's marginalized and who's not and who should be attacked and who's not. And then men are really under attack. You know, and I want to say to women who are attacking guys, I say, you created every penis. Every single penis you have created, okay? So let's boil it down to that. And
my brain is still stuck on, like, it fell down the pothole rabbit hole of my wife joined a cult. That's probably a whole separate episode.
Did I bury the lead on that one?
I mean, the way you just kind of casually, like, and then my wife joined a cult. But anyway, a cult, like a capital C cult.
If you want to have a little bit of fun, look up her leader. So let's just pretend I didn't call it a cult. Let me just act like I'm promoting.
It's an organization. Yeah.
Get in any trouble. I'll say, listen, folks.
That didn't happen.
And all I'm going to say is go check her out. You might want to get into some multi-level marketing that they're promoting. One day it's orgasms. One day it's water. Whatever it is, I know that I'm out a lot of money. So no money came back. But so that's just the truth. So I can't get in trouble for the truth. But look up Brooke with an E, W March. If you want to have a little bit of fun, read some of the posts. And by the way, she's putting the posts out there. So I'm not saying anything bad. She's proud of her posts. So we live in a theoretical world is what my point is. There's no basis for this. There's no history of this working, you know, with whatever she says in her posts and all that kind of stuff. It's just what works allegedly for her. But if you unpack that one, oh boy. So anyway, it's kind of sad, and I'm still dealing with it with, you know, the kids we have to manage, and the kids are doing great despite this complete immersion into this community of plant-based and orgasms and BDSM, and it's unbelievable. And sometimes it's unfortunate, but I'll say to people, "Hey, we got divorced." I swear to God, the first response is, "What'd you do?" And that's another program. That's another program. It's always the guy's fault. You know. I was thinking to myself, when I was married, if I was in the forest and my wife wasn't there, and I spoke, would I still be wrong?
You would, yes.
And by the way, if I now identify, if I switch my identification to a her, will things not always be my fault anymore? That's what I'm thinking about.
The thing is, Craig, when you've been married more than once, I mean, you're talking to people that have been married more than once. When you're married more than once and a marriage fails, people automatically go, man, he can't keep a wife or she can't keep a husband. Yep. Yep. When I think the conversation maybe ought to be, here's a person who, for whatever reason, is choosing poorly and thinking that their love and presence can heal another person. Right.
There you go.
Isn't it possible?
But you're looking inside of yourself, which is the best answer we can have. I'm not blaming her. I'm saying that this actually led to me. I've got to double down on my progress, on my transformation, on myself, and learn more about myself. Is where did I bring these things about? What was I ignoring? I'm the rescue thing that I've been doing since I tried to fix my mom up with Paul Lynde, yep. For God's sake.
Yep. And that was doomed. I mean, and Paul Lynde was apparently just a delightful man, but he didn't want your mama, Craig. I mean, that was never going to work, right? But
did
I think
ever tell
that
you
that's...
My goal was he would adopt me. And we would be the first father and son team on the Hollywood Squares. Like the contestant would go, I'd like Craig and Paul Lynde for the win, please. And he'd be up there in a box. Like, take it, son. It's a sports question. So, listen, here's the law of attraction, though. This is a true story. I've always been an optimist. Even when I was beaten and kidnapped and everything, always been an optimist. My goal was that. It really was. And I ended up on 75 episodes of Hollywood Squares. I mean, he passed away, so I couldn't share the box with him. But, you know, these things happen if we remain resilient and go to our own power. Don't empower other people. That's a big key. And that's what I talk about when I teach this Winning with Laughter program, is laughter is power. When I'm on stage, it is powerful. You talked about, Bob, you talked about how you felt that those five minutes of your life. You felt that unbelievable source energy that is like no other, because it's pure. You can't be depressed when you're laughing. You can't be angry, rageful. None of that exists in the same space. You cannot. It cannot exist. So when you're laughing, you're in your bliss and you're in your best self.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
you're exactly so true. Right. You're exactly
well,
right.
Craig, tell people who are with us right now how they can lay hands on you for this part of your career. The whole
lay hands on
coaching.
Me. Oh yeah, baby, the love master. Lay some hands on the love master, baby. Yeah. Have you seen Naked and Afraid? When I get naked, you'll be afraid, baby. CraigShoemaker.com. No mocker, a maker. You make shoes, you don't mock shoes unless they're Crocs. Those you can mock. You know what the holes are for? So your self-esteem can slip out. Anyway, the winningwithlaughter.com. Go check that out while you're scouring for Brooke W. March. Go check that out as well. There's your solution to any cult.
That's great. You're so funny. You're great.
Craig,
great
thanks so
you.
Much. Thanks so yeah. much for popping by. Anytime, dude, you know where to find us.
You got it. You're the best. I'm sad I won't get to see you at the Charlotte Comedy Zone. But, you know, another time. I love hanging with you guys forever. I've loved you guys forever. I think you're the best at what you do.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig. And back at you. We will post Craig's links up on our website at bobandsheri.com. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Oddcast. You're the reason we make it, and we're so glad you're here. We'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to the Oddcast, Talking Lamar and the Bob and Sherry podcast. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.